Good morning, church. It is difficult, I think, to kind of come on after such a moving. That was a beautiful song. Thank you very much. Sorry. I want you to see me, I think. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning on this day that sort of I wasn't 100% sure I'd be able to get down the hill and was very glad that could do so this morning and be with you. It's a little bit of a running, I think, wink from God just about every time a Sunday morning comes and there is snow or some type of weather that might possibly inhibit people getting here, inhibit me getting here, since it dates back to my very first sermon when I prayed fervently for snow and none was in the forecast and it snowed buckets, and it was kind of Todd's debut on the guitar in front of the 10 people that made it. So it was good, but I always have to kind of look up and smile. Okay, God, you got me. So we are in a sermon series, as you can sort of see from the setup up here, entitled Under Construction. And if you came in this morning and went to try to go down one of the halls at the side, you notice that we had kind of hard hat areas and some areas blocked off. And obviously this theme of being under construction fits well with where our church is at in the physical structure and remodeling of this building. But going into New Year, it's always good to sort of take a sort of a litmus test of where we're at and look at what it is that God can do within us and we want God to do within us and we open our lives to. So our sermon series began the very first Sunday in January, looking at love, that God is and Jesus is building us into people of love. Makes sense. That's foundational. Very first thing we should always be thinking about, because the scripture tells us that God himself is love. And Jesus tells us that there's two commands: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else within the word of God, everything else he asks us to do is hinging on that. So under construction, we open our lives personally to love. Second, last week we looked at surrender and that we need to surrender our lives to the Lord. There's no I in team. Or is there? Because we need to make personal decisions of surrender. And so this week, our sermon entitled, When I Got the List and It Came to Me and It Said I'm On for This Sunday, the sermon title was Rebar. And I had to sort of scratch my head like, rebar? Not sure about this, but it's looking at building faith into our lives. So I did a little study, and I hope you journey with me and see how rebar works in our construction. Our scripture this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 to 4, and I'm reading this morning from the New International Version. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So rebar, as I looked this up, I even had a little conversation with somebody that works in construction after the first service who gave me even more information about rebar than I had already known. But rebar is steel reinforcement bars that are used to improve the tension strength of concrete. Poured concrete is strong and it does well under compression, but under tension, it can fail. The tension strength is relieved by reinforcing it with rebar. Rebar absorbs the tension and prevents the concrete from cracking or breaking. Most contractors who use concrete know that it will crack over time. So contractors and builders are aware that by adding rebar, it provides strength and support to a concrete structure by absorbing and distributing tension that is caused when the concrete expands and contracts due to climate variations. So this next image might be a better visual of rebar in a construction site. This is an image I found online of a bridge, concrete bridge being built where the rebar is set up first before the concrete is poured. And what I like about this kind of framework for the concrete bridge, and when I think about all of our travels all over, whenever you travel somewhere and you go over a bridge, the intention is that bridge is going to stay. It's going to be stable. It's going to endure across time. And that the support and structure of it will be longer than our own lifespan. I know that they're starting to go through and do all kinds of repairs on different bridges around the area, and that's because over time, the concrete will break down even with the rebar, but it lasts way longer than it would without it and is sturdier, and it perseveres under pressure and tension. Like hot and cold, it expands and it contracts. So the Lord is the master builder, and he is building something in each of us, individually, and in each of us together, collectively, among us as a body or community. And that which he is building is to transcend and go beyond, further than the passage of time of just our own lifespans. Something that will endure when it is faced with pressures and tensions. So, construction. I'm not a construction expert. So when you get into construction, there are about four things that sort of came to me as just a layperson, non-builder, about constructing in a project. The first is that a construction project involves planning. You have to ask yourself, will I build? Do I want to build? Why will I build? What's going on? Do I need to do it? If you determine yes, time to build something, or yes, like here in this church, it's time to remodel. We need to redo some things for functionality and what God is calling us to in the long range. Then you need to get other experts involved. You get an architect involved, you get plans drawn, you bring in contractors, someone that will come alongside you and with you in this building project. Of course, that's building structure, construction. What about our faith? With regard to our faith, it really goes into, is there a God? Am I willing to trust him? Will I stay steadfast and firm in my faith just no matter what faces me, no matter what difficulty, no matter what health problem, no matter who fails me in this church body, which some of you might, I may fail you, but will I stay steadfast to God? So I will plan and surrender that, saying, yes, I'm going to construct faith within my life. Next is clearing. I don't know if this is in any particular necessary order, but, you know, if you have a property, woods, trees, whatever, you usually clear it out first. Some excavators come through. They'll prepare the land so you have a place to build. Here, we're doing a remodel. In your faith life, you might be doing a remodel, but as you do a remodel, there are things, walls that need to come down. There might be walls that need to be built up or moved a little bit. So are there things that need to be removed, obstacles, something excavated to take out the old so you can put in the new? Likewise, in our faith, there may be obstacles that hinder your faith life. And that might include mindsets like, you know, my childhood was terrible, so now God owes me. I surrender my life to him, now it needs to be like roses and cotton candy all the time. Or I'm the master of my own life. I'm the master of my own domain. I can do what I want at any time. We might put our trust too much in a political party or a certain candidate that might become the leader of the country, thinking that's what's going to make a country great. When in fact, we all need to be surrendered to God, having him as part of this nation, and as we guide ourselves, that would make it great. So we may need to tweak and get rid of some of our thought processes, our habits, our activities. Maybe there's people that we associate with that we're better off as we allow our lives to be built in faith. We're better off having them sort of step aside until we can get this focus. We may, as we get up each morning, I know I have people that I work with that they're constantly looking at their horoscopes, and It's interesting. You can see when the horoscope says something good, it gets posted like, oh, today's going to be a great day. Can't wait to get at it with this, what it said. But you don't necessarily see, or they're sort of expecting the shoe to drop when the horoscope may be sort of not as appealing. Are we looking instead to God? Do we need to sort of press that aside? So clearing out. Next is the foundation. In any construction project, there is a foundation, what we are planning to build upon. I know that we have a deck out back of our house, and because that's a wood structure, there are these concrete footers that are put underneath the deck. I see it in our lovely little rustic cabin that we go to. There are these concrete things that the little cabin is unsteadily settled upon. My husband has a love relationship with the cabin. I have a little bit of a love-hate thing. It's that outhouse out the back that's not so fun. But there needs to be this foundation that we're going to place the rest of the structure on. And in our faith walk as well, we are looking at who are we founding our lives on? What are we founding our lives on in that faith as it's under construction? Are we looking at the God that is in the entire scripture? Or are we looking at only those little blurbs, those little positive messages that some speakers and pastors may put out there, and we're not actually looking at the full God of scripture so that we know who he is? Are we reading this word for ourselves? So next, after the foundation, comes the framework. So this is what you place on top. Remember that rebar bridge image that we saw. Are we planning for an enduring structure? Are we planning on something that will not decay turn back into soil by the end of our lives? I'm ready for my husband. I he has to bring this big fan and fan me every time I get these heat flashes. So are we building something that will endure and not crumble? I looked up in Ephrata. There is one of the oldest buildings in Ephrata is downtown in Ephrata. It's the white big stone building that has the big columns out the front that is Ephrata National Bank's main headquarters. Most of us have probably driven through town and seen it. It was built in 1808. So over 200 years ago, it was built. It was built to be a hotel. It was called the Eagle Hotel when it was first built. So, you know, just thinking about that, the person that went into the thought of building that structure planned for it to remain beyond their lifetime. And we, too, as we're thinking about what we're constructing in our lives and faith, we're not just living it and constructing it within our lives for our own lifetime and our own sake. And I have to say, that was a little bit of a sort of just a kind of tweak in my mind of what I think about with my faith. I often think about it being something for me, for my sake. I'm faithful to God. I have faith in who God is. I put my faith in Jesus because it's good for me. But this concept that our faith can transcend time and be something that lives on beyond our lives is sort of something I hadn't really thought about. So I was glad to think that way. And think about Hebrews 11. If you read Hebrews 11 in there, it has these heroes of the faith listed. And it starts out with all these different people to talk about Abel, which in Genesis, there's this, the documentation of Adam and Eve, and they had these two sons first, Cain and Abel. Both Cain and Abel decided what they were going to offer to the Lord. We only have a little bit of information about Abel's life, but what we have says that he gave an offering that was something that the Lord received. He knew the connection that Abel had with him, and in his faith of making this offering, God received it with favor. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11 that his offering is still speaking of faith today, even beyond all those thousands of years. So Hebrews 11, that list of people, each person in there, Abraham, Moses, all those listed, they lived lives of faith within the context of their lives. but something that went beyond their lifespan so that it continues on speaking to us today. So here we are in the new year of 2020. I had to take stock myself in this new year. We have been like for years raising up our kids, and you know, they get older, they go off to college, they graduate high school, you know, and now our youngest has graduated from grad school, and she just moved out the beginning of this month. And I'm sort of looking at my life like, well, now what? You know, we sort of had empty nest before, but now it's really empty. Like, she's got her own place, her own house, her own full-time job, and she doesn't come to visit us every night like I thought she might. I hope she might. So this 2020, with 2020 as like vision, your vision is 2020, I sort of went into this new year thinking, okay, we've got this sermon series on under construction. What is it that is being constructed in me and in my life? And thinking about faith, I believe there's three practical things that we can allow the master builder to do in our lives. The first one that's practical, I think, is we should feed our faith. Read the Word of God. I know that seems probably intimidating and maybe even a little unappealing, sort of dry. But go to like chapter 11 of Hebrews, not now, but go there and read through that chapter. And when you see the names of the people, then look it up and go back and read where their full story of their faith walk is listed. Because it's a great testimony and example across the ages of a faith life as we feed our own study and examples of faith and those heroes of faith. As you look at it, Dean and I were sort of interacting a little bit this week by email about this sermon title. And so as you're looking at people of faith and reading about people of faith, there are some things that you may want to ask yourself. What is the quality? What is going into this person's act of faith? And what are some common themes that we see among them? So Dean came up with some that I'm just going to share with you, and I want to give credit because he spent a lot of time. Dean spends so much time preparing for the little things you see happening on a Sunday morning, like that little bulletin. It's very short compared to the amount of time and study he puts into it. So I was blessed by this. Qualities of people of faith. One is they know the scripture. They're devoted to God and his word. And even before people had this written text that we have, they passed along a very faithful telling of the word so that it remained and endured over time. So people of faith, they know the scripture and God's word. Second, they trust in God. And when trouble comes, they react from faith. Third, they're a person of prayer. Fourth, they stay committed to hearing God. They go to him first. And this might involve the need to fast in order to hear from him. They confess their dependence on God, and they remember, and they recall and give a testimony of what God has done both to them personally and throughout history. So, feed your faith is the first tip. Second practical tip is exercise your faith. Put it into action. Act on it. Abel, I told you, one of the sons of Adam and Eve, he made an offering. He acted on his faith. Abraham left his town that he lived in and grown up in and his family had come from, and every family after him was probably going to come from there. And no, he was asked to leave, and in faith, he acted on that, and he left where he lived, going to a place when he stood and looked was going to be promised to his descendants, something he was never going to see fulfilled in his own lifetime. There were his future descendants were going to own the land that became the nation of Israel. He acted on that faith. Daniel, he continued to pray to his God despite it being against the king of the land, the Babylonian king's order. And he ended up getting thrown into the lion's den. And Jesus went to the cross, praying, not his will be done, but that of the Father's. So that tip, exercise your faith. and acting upon it. And we're going to do that when we engage in the bread and the cup. Matter of fact, we're going to even speak the words over the bread and bless the bread and the cup. So we're going to have the opportunity to act, to exercise, and to feed our faith in a little bit of time here. And the third and final point, practical tip, recommendation, so that you're building up the faith in your life, is to speak to your faith and to speak from your faith. And in doing so, it will grow. It ignites our faith so that it consumes what might otherwise overtake us, overtake you, overcome it. Because if you're not speaking from your faith, you may be speaking from your fear. So speak to and from your faith. Some biblical examples of that are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men that were thrown into a fiery furnace for not bowing down to the Babylonian king's golden image that he had set up. And I know I'm kind of probably going beyond my time a little bit here, but I love what it says in Daniel 3 that the men said. They said, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." The matter was, I'm not bowing down to this golden image. I'm only worshiping the Lord. We don't need to defend ourselves. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, which was the punishment, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majestic hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They spoke from the place of faith, knowing God may intervene. He could intervene, but he may not. Mary, the virgin who ended up being the one that received the precious gift of the anointed one, was visited by an angel, and she spoke from her faith by saying, "May it be to me as you have said." Mark 11, Jesus tells us that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can say to a mountain, "Move from here to there." 1 John tells us that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. And Romans 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So are our lives under construction? Yes, they are. They're under construction, and we can work with the master builder on this construction project in our lives by feeding our faith, exercising our faith, speaking to and from our faith. Because Jesus is the master builder, and he's building in each of us and among us together something that will stand the test of time, the tension and the pressure that we face. And I have to tell you that I, for one, am very glad that he's building it in me, that he's building something in you, and that he's building something in us together. Amen.